Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again in Circles of Change. I have the pleasure of speaking with Beth Maynard Green in what I understand is one of the most beautiful parts of California, Bonsall, California, avocado country, right, Beth?
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous here, except we are very blessed because I live in an oasis in the middle of that. We have literally a natural stream and waterfalls running through our property.
I think that's a secret that I wouldn't let two people know. You know, you want to know that you work in a really dingy office with no windows, Beth.
I love you.
All right. I wanted to thank Beth in advance. She's right in the middle of giving a keynote at a conference tomorrow, so she's going to give us a quick half an hour of her time. Such important work that Beth is doing. Let me give an introduction. She's a spiritual teacher, intuitive counselor, composer, and workshop leader since 1980. Beth is the author of 5 books, including Living with Reality, Who We Are, What We Could Be, How We Get There. And she's also currently featured as one of only 28 renowned spiritual teachers and scientists contributing to the New Science and Spirituality Reader, which is a volume that was co-edited by Nobel Prize nominee Irvin Laszlo. Based, as I mentioned, in California, Beth is the founder of The Stream, and I connect that literally and figuratively, right, Beth?
That's right.
Exactly, a nonprofit spiritual community, and she's also co-founder of the Center for Healing and Higher Consciousness, which, of course, I always say time flies, particularly when you're unconscious. So in a world of constant change and frequent chaos, this is Beth's provocative thought. Wouldn't it be great to have a voice in our head to guide us along? A voice that, by the way, is truly accurate, not just the cacophony we often let in our heads. So now for over 30 years, Beth has had such a voice. And her new book, God's Little Aphorisms, is our topic today. So let us listen in to a few of those profound messages that she's allowed now to come out of her head and put in writing, and how she's been writing them together for this upcoming Vortex of Campaign, Change Campaign, that's going to launch in August to get people to move beyond, as she says, the capacity to achieve alone. So God's Little Aphorisms, you know, was this a book or thoughts or voices you've known you've had to commit to writing, Beth?
No, actually, It never even dawned on me to write this book. See, because these messages have been coming to me so frequently over these 30 years that I just kind of take them for granted. Mm-hmm. But one day, one of my students said, Beth, I wish you would write these down and make them into a calendar. And so out of that came that prompting that, maybe I needed to make a book. And so I felt guided to choose 52 of them once a week. Mm-hmm. And that's how this book came to pass.
And it is a wonderful piece, such that the chapters are not overwhelmingly long.
All the rest of my books are. So.
Well, no, I did not mean that as an evaluation. You know, a topic such as living with reality requires a 700-page book, Beth.
Thank you.
So you don't need to beat your up self about that. But God's Little Aphorism, I'm sure that's what part of your friends also say is, and, oh, by the way, Beth, don't make it 700 pages, right?
Right.
Well, I love the fact, really, that your very first one, I think, sets the tone aptly for the conference that you're going to be igniting, this Vortex of Change campaign in August. And that is, it says, if you had been meant to know everything, I wouldn't have had to create other people. And that is so important to remind ourselves of, isn't it?
Oh, my God. This is probably my greatest weakness in life. You had to ask.
Led me into it. You made it number one. So.
I know, but if that wasn't me, that was God did it.
There you go. Okay. Yep. So pass it up. He's at fault.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, each one of us, we're so ego-based, you know, and it's not our fault. That's the way we're designed. And our egos are born when we are born. And they're always out to protect us and to try to figure out how we're going to survive in the jungle. And so looking knowledgeable or being important or being indispensable in some ways is kind of built into our DNA. And so here I was leading a women's group, and I'm an intuitive. I've been doing this a long time, and I just felt stumped at a certain point. There was something going on in the group, and I was missing what was going on. And one of the students, clients, just came up with this brilliant realization, and it was exactly the perfect thing that needed to be said. And of course, I was devastated.
Because you say, doggone, I should have had that one beforehand. But not
exactly.
Instead of being grateful that
she had come up with it, my first reaction was to beat myself up for not. And it was literally in that moment that aphorism came to me. If you had been meant to know everything, I wouldn't have had to create other people. And it just reminds us so much of the oneness. And you're so right, Zara, in connecting that to the vortex of change, because we are one. We are a collective. We are a collective consciousness, and we need to change together. So how could I possibly be the only one or out there in the front, the queen of the parade, when what's really important and what really needs to happen is for all of us to be moving forward in consciousness?
Well, and I know for those our listeners, as you know, that we have quite a diverse listening group right now. And so any of you who are listening who are leaders in organizations, this applies aptly to you as a leader, to think you have to know everything or be the one that knows how to do budgets, marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's something fatally flawed in that. Is that really, yeah. Oh, by the way, you may indeed know all that, congratulations, but to be able to apply it, sustain it, and then look for the opportunities to take it to the next level, there's no finer opportunity than lean on others and in some ways step back and say, not mine, don't know it, can't do it, how about you?
You are so right. And not only that, that is what builds your team.
Yeah.
Everyone has to feel value. And if you're the only one who seems to have any value, what you're doing is you're destroying the potential of the people that you need in order to move your whole project forward.
Isn't that really true?
And so that humility is not only for your own benefit, because it eliminates a lot of stress headaches, but also it's exactly what the whole collective needs, is for everyone to feel valuable, important, and have a part to play in the collective evolution.
Yeah, it's really true. I'm going to just kind of jump through. I of course, have a wonderful copy of Beth's book in front of me, which, again, is God Little Aphorisms. And I love the tagline, one-liners from the source. So pay attention. And then one is that when in doubt, don't. I mean, how many times do we still try to work the problem and still try to make it happen, and it never dawns on us that maybe option number one should be just stop and don't do it?
Well, that's very related to what you said about the first one, which is about the knowing and the not knowing, because we have such an idea that it's important for us and our egos to know, or at least to appear to know, and we feel this drive to have resolution, and those two things are very much related. And to actually live in the reality of the not knowing, which is what most of life is, and there are so many problems, and we really have very little idea of what to do about anything. And yet we have so much energy behind looking like we have answers and solutions. And we can't stand living in that not knowing and in that anxiety. When you have a belief in some kind of higher consciousness, a higher power, God, the source, just wisdom of the universe, something, then we can take a breath and say, not only can someone else, some other human being, have an answer, but that maybe the universe has something in store and we just can't see it yet.
Sure. And you're not entitled to see it. You're not allowed to see it yet because you're not ready for it.
Exactly. Or the universe hasn't yet put all the pieces together in order for you to see it. And so to be able to live in the not knowing is to require us to deal with our level of anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Book, what I just love, Beth, about the cross section of aphorisms that you've picked up on them is there's an element of personal introspection and prompting, but there's also a way that you're trying to connect and wake us up to recognize it isn't about me, it's about we. And I love the one, and I this small chapter, as he said, now this is an interesting one, and that was, it says, you can't clean the air over one house in Los Angeles. Tell the audience about that one. What a message.
Well, thank you so much for asking about that. It, honestly, Zara, I feel like crying, which is okay. You'll think I'm a nut, but there has been so much striving in the personal growth community.
Right.
to perfect our individual selves. Oh, and people are constantly beating themselves up for, oh, I'm not as thin as I should be, or I'm not as serene as I should be, or I'm still doing something that I feel like I shouldn't be doing. And what we try to do is we try to protect, perfect ourselves. Now, the reality is we are not individuals. I asked, and this is a true story. I said to God once, because I really do have this inner voice that speaks to me all the time, mm-hmm. and I said to God, this was 30 years ago, who am I? I'd never ask such a stupid question again, right?
And this is one of the, yeah, and as we say, if you ask the question, be ready to get an answer,
Yes, so I get this zinger from the other side. So I said, who am I? And I hear this voice that says, go look at the stream. And that God said, you are the drop of water that's different from all the rest. So I'm looking at the stream, right? I said, well, which drop would that be?
Right.
And God started laughing at me. That is the point.
Yeah.
That, in fact, each one of us does not exist as a separate individual. It's like taking one cell out of the body. What's going to happen to it? It's going to die. Mm-hmm. We are all part of a big organism. We are all part of the universal consciousness. And yet we are so entrenched in thinking of ourselves as individuals. And that really hurts us, because then we are equally critical of ourselves as individuals and say, why can't I change? Well, the reality is that because we are one, we are dramatically impacted by the consciousness of everybody around us.
Yes.
And to think any different, it is very foolish. If you look at a culture that's very militaristic, the likelihood is you're going to be more militaristic. If you're living in a Tibetan monastery, you'll probably be more serene. And so what we really need to do is work on ourselves, but simultaneously realize that we need to work on the collective consciousness of which we are a part. And that's how we're really going to heal.
But, you know, that's a tall order for people. People thinking, are you out of your mind? I got my own stuff to deal with. I can't deal with the 20 other people in my organization or my team or the entire Western United States or what's going on in the European Union, how their financial crisis is impacting us. So
yes.
To have the confidence and the courage to step up and say, whatever you might be dealing at the interventionist minutia level, and not to say disregard, you don't want to work on it, but that there's a bigger perspective of things and opportunities to shift. That's what your vortex of change is about, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, the vortex of change can only be built by us collectively. And what is so amazing about this vortex is that it then comes back and it changes us. It's like it's a co-creation between us and the universe, that as everything that I do helps change the collective, everything that shifts in the collective helps to change me. If you come into a room where people are angry, you will feel anger and you won't even know why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's really true. Or uncertain or anxious. And, you know, the comment that, you know, you actually become the six closest people to you. And so many times people feel, well, then I have to get rid of those that don't serve me well. Well, there's another, and that's part of it, of course, but another place is, but wait a minute, how are you showing up and how might you influence others in the process? This idea that leadership is what we all carry with us.
Oh, I love what you're saying. It's so true. And that puts so much responsibility on us. And yet at the same time, as you said, I cannot go out and solve every problem on the planet. But what I can do is start to help shift the consciousness on the planet. And as that consciousness on the planet shifts, then we will collectively be able to solve every problem. We are so into, you know, you were talking earlier about needing to be the one in the organization
yeah, exactly.
to know things. If we as a world community could let go of our personal agendas, I want more land, I want more oil, I want more this, more power, more something, and come together and say, we are a whole, we are a universe, what can we do to make this a better place? We let go of our agendas. We go into the not knowing, and then we start connecting to the divine consciousness that comes through in this book, but can come through and is coming through in even bigger ways. Then what happens is we are on the same page. We're asking for guidance together to come up with solutions that are for the highest good of all, not just for number one.
Exactly.
And what is for the highest good of all will always be for my highest good.
That's what comes back. For those of you who just may have tuned in, we're speaking with Beth Maynard Green. Her latest book is God's Little Aphorisms. She's also the writer and scholar of a book called Living with Reality, Who We Are, What We Could Do, How We Get There. But Beth, for our listeners who may not be as aware of the term intuit or vortex, could you go back and anchor us on that word? I mean, what does it mean to be an intuit? Is it something you're gifted with? Did it suddenly hit your radar screen because something happened to you? And what does that mean in your day-to-day life as you engage with others being an intuit?
Oh, thank you for asking me that question. Well, actually, I did not know I was intuitive until 1980. When I have always had severe health problems since I'm 15, and therefore I've always been on the prowl for something to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through this all this holistic stuff, and this guy said, "You're the weakest human being I've ever met," and he sent me to a metaphysical woman counselor. And I thought this is just completely nuts. I was totally a materialist up to that time. I had no spirituality. I didn't believe in God, the source, or anything. And she turned on a green light, and for some reason I had more strength. And I thought, This is bizarre. And then she started talking about past lives, which I thought was completely kooky. And I turned to her, and I said to her, "No, that's not how it happened. Let me tell you how it was." And I start seeing things that are running like a movie. Now, we could get into it another time, you know, whether there really are past lives. I have a theory about that has to do with the collective consciousness.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is that something turned on in me in that instant. And I went home and I called one of my friends and I said, "The most bizarre thing happened to me." And she said, "Well, can you get information about me too?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And she came over, and that was the beginning of my intuitive counseling career.
Wow.
Because what I discovered is that I had access to knowledge and information that was beyond my capacity to know, and it was proven to me by very spectacular experiences that made me realize that this was true. I mean, things that you could never explain in rational terms. So I had to give up my old universe and embrace that there was an entire universe that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is important about this is that I am not the only one, that every one of us has access to higher consciousness. And that is really part of what the collective vortex of change is about, is developing in everybody the capacity to access higher consciousness and the divine energies that are coming through. So getting to the question of vortex, so actually both of your questions really link beautifully, that a vortex is like a swirling energy, like when the water goes down the drain.
Yep, that's right.
Well, what happened to me is that I can connect to higher consciousness, not only on the cognitive level that we're talking about. It's like when I have a counseling client, I'll see something or I'll get a question in my head, and it guides me completely. And going back to your other question, I ask for divine guidance about everything I do and have ever since the beginning when I got this inner voice. What should I eat? What should I wear? Do I turn left? What do I do every day? I want divine guidance because I can really ruin any life. So,
including our own, right?
Yeah, I'd much rather listen to the source. And, you know, and I really believe that that's one of the missing ingredients for us. So that vortex of change is an energy. So that's part of it is cognitive, is getting guidance. But much of it is pure energy. I'm also have been gifted with the capacity to channel energy that people can feel. It's like chi, like the kind of chi people learn about in Tai Chi or pranas, those kind of energies. And I can actually channel it and help it to grow. And suddenly you feel like you're in this vortex. And this vortex of energy starts shifting your consciousness. You find yourself relaxing. You find yourself getting elevated. So in the Vortex of Change campaign, what I'm advocating is that we need to become aware of what it is that we need to do in order to build that vortex. One is we need to do the emotional healing and clearing, that because when we are emotionally reactive, we are blocked from being able to connect to higher consciousness. Second, we need the spiritual teaching and new ways of thinking, the new levels of consciousness. third, we need to do it collectively because we are one. You can't clean the air over one house in Los Angeles.
That's right.
And the fourth component is to bring through the divine energies, and we can all learn to do that. I'm developing this weekend a video, which is going to be free on YouTube, about building the, I'm calling it Welcoming the Vortex. And if we all did that video every day where we connect through sound and movement to this vortex energy, we would be feeding it. As we feed it, it feeds us.
It's so interesting, you know, anyone who's, you know, been caught in the eye of a storm, and I mean that either literally or figuratively, but let's say literally in the, a tornado season or whatever, that if you can be in that place that's at the eye, everything really is quiet and still, even though the whole world around you is swimming and going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the other piece about Vortex, of course, you're tapping in here to an audience here in the Southwest, specifically Tucson. And there are a lot of us that come here, and immediately you step off that plane. Of course, for me, it was from the dead of winter coming here from Connecticut. And so it land in January, sunset. But you step off the plane and the waft of the air, the feeling of a whole different sense of things, you can feel a different electricity in you. And some people might discount it at saying, well, you just were jet lagged. But I'm like, no, no, there's something else that really is compelling that's pulling you. To the point you then recognize how people have a different lifestyle. There's more energy, exercise, focus on food, you name it. But then how that can spill back and reflect. You know, I want to take us back to a couple more aphorisms because of our time here, you know, that I think tie into this whole vortex, this idea of don't worry today about what you can worry about tomorrow.
Yes.
So that's the other one, is this idea of being really present, because otherwise, you know, you could be in that still place, but now you're going to walk right into the buzzsaw without being mindful of it. The other one, of course, right before it in your book, Aphorism 21, is you can't do the right thing for the wrong reason. So also taking a stake in what you're doing is what you're advising
us. Absolutely. We always need to look at our motivations. When people look at, oh God, I could talk to you forever. When people look at what choices they should make, usually people are looking at things from an external perspective.
Right.
If I do this, what will the result be? But in Living with Reality, I go through explaining a different perspective, which is life is a transformational moment, and it's all about inner growth and inner transformation. And so what we need to be understanding is that life is a series of transformational moments. When we understand that, then when we look at choices that we have to make, we're really examining what is my motive for doing that. And instead of worrying so much about the external result, I know that if I do this, for example, I'm going to be breaking a pattern of mine that has been keeping me enslaved for 50 years. I don't give a darn what the external result is. This is what I need to do.
But I'm sure you said something, though, that some of our listeners are going like, oh, no, here they go again. And that is when you say it's a series of transformational moments. Because a lot of people are like, great, whew, I went through that one, I'm done. Now life is stable. And you know
it's
what?
A transition
it's not.
To the next transition.
Exactly.
Because everyone's life is where, you may not like it, but here it is. You would think that the wedding is the end point, but we know it's the beginning. You think that giving birth to the baby is the end point, and it's just the beginning. Every moment is the transition to the next moment. You reach maturity, you're on your way to death. And so we as human beings have to learn how to relax into the process of living and to take on each of these as a transition and welcome it as a transformational moment.
Isn't that really true? Well, it's been a real pleasure and a quick half an hour. You and I knew this would happen. I've been speaking with Beth Maynard Green. You can learn about her book, God Little Aphorisms, One-Liners from the Source, by going to bethsplace.org. Also, her other book, livingwithreality.com. And then also for listeners who might be enticed to take a look at an opportunity to join Beth and her community in mid-August, go to vortexofchange.com to learn about their upcoming conference. And Beth, thank you so much.
You can get God's Aphorisms free as a PDF file.
There you go. And it's even
sign up for my newsletter, and that sign up is going to be on the Vortex of Change website soon. But if you go to bethplace.org, you can sign up now. by Monday, that you can go to Vortex of Change and get everything at that website, vortexofchange.com, and get a free PDF file of that in this book and last through the year.
That's right, and pass that on to those that are around you that you're trying to make sense of some pretty challenging times for all of us. Beth, again, good luck for your conference this weekend. Thanks for giving us a half an hour for your time in the mix.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.